Well, this morning we finish our short series looking at Acts chapter 1 and 2 under the title Church with a Mission. And what we've seen is we've seen Jesus commission his church. He said to his apostles, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's their mission. That's our mission, to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. But he didn't leave them on their own to do it. He sent the power of the Holy Spirit in chapter 2, verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. The power of the Spirit to enable them to fulfill that mission. And then last week with Henry, we saw that mission beginning. And we saw Peter preaching the gospel. And this amazing result. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. God working. God building churches. I've said it before that back in January 2020, my daughter and her husband and two other couples began a new church in Yorkshire. And the summer before, I was talking to Anna, my daughter, and I said to her, "Well, Anna, how many people have pledged to be in your church?" I said, "Dad, 9 people." I said, "Anna, 9 people is a home group, not a church." We were there with them a few weeks ago. There were nearly 40 people there. In 2 years, God has quadrupled that church. Dramatic growth. God is at work in his church to build his church. 3,000 people have been added. God builds his church. In Acts chapter 1, there were 120. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. And then suddenly, 3,000 were added. Yeah, and I know that probably at the end of the festival, a number went back to their own countries and places. But it was dramatic growth. God was at work. And now, verse 42, we get a picture of that embryonic church. And as we look at passages like this in Acts, we need to be careful because we don't make doctrine from history. We don't say, "Oh, because it happened there, it must happen here. Because it happened at that point in history, it must happen all the time." No, we look at it and we understand it in the light of the rest of the New Testament. And what we see from this embryonic church, I think of 4 things that we can learn from and which are relevant to us seeking to be a healthy and a growing church. And the first thing we see is that they were eager to learn. If you've got a Bible there, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. God was at work, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching because God, as it were, put the stamp on the apostles by doing miraculous signs through them, authenticating their ministry. And so the people devoted themselves to the teaching of these apostles. They devoted themselves to the teaching. This was the work of the Holy Spirit. As John Stott puts it, the Spirit of God leads the people of God to submit to the Word of God. 3,000 people had responded to God's word on that day of Pentecost. They'd heard it, they'd accepted it, they believed in Jesus. And then you can imagine, can't you? The next day, some of them waking up thinking, "Well, what did I just do? What happens next?" And you can imagine the apostles thinking, "Crumbs, what on earth are we going to do with 3,000 new believers? How are we going to deal with that?" Well, Peter knew. Later on in his letter, he explains what new Christians need. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "Like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." Crave the pure spiritual milk is the word logikon, the word logos. Crave the word so that by the word you grow up in your salvation. And friends, that's not just for the people then. either in the Acts of the Apostles or at the time of the early church that Peter's writing to. It's for all of us. If we want to grow, we need to follow the example of the early church, where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the pattern. Paul writes about it in Ephesians 2:20 when he says the church is built on the foundation, that is the teaching of the apostles and the prophets. God's word is the bedrock. It's the bedrock on which the church is built. It's the bedrock on which the church flourishes. It's the bedrock on which the church grows. This was a church with a mission. And at the heart of that mission was a devotion to the word of God. Nothing's changed. If we wish to grow as a church, if we wish to grow individually, it will be on the foundation of the apostles' teaching. And I have to ask, are we doing that? You know, they talk, Luke here writes, they were devoted themselves. It's a very specific word. It's a word of commitment. Commitment to the word of God. Are we committed to the word of God? Are we committed to reading it, to learning from it, to growing in it? My daughter has 6 children. And watching them at mealtimes is... Yeah, it's experience, really. I don't recommend it, but some of the children, they just get on and eat. One of them, let me see if I can get this to work. One of them, yes, this little one here, bless him, he's the family comedian. And he'll have the food in front of him, but there's so many distractions. He wants to make you laugh. He wants to say something funny. He wants to engage with everybody around the table. And so his food goes uneaten, untouched. The little one at the end, he needs his food cut up for him, and the baby, which is not there in that picture, of course, needs feeding. And in a sense, that's an analogy of us as Christians. Because I know, as I look out and see, I know many of you are feeding on the Word of God. You enjoy the sermons, you're in home groups, you're reading the Word of God for yourselves. That's brilliant. Some of us are new in the faith, and we, as it were, need the food cut up for us to help us to understand and grow. And friends, that's fine. But some of us are like little Joel. You know, we get distracted. There are so many things in life, so many things we need to do, that actually the word of God gets forgotten. It's not that we don't think it's important, but we don't get round to reading it. We need to learn from these early Christians that if we wish to grow individually in our faith, if we wish to grow corporately, we need to be centered on and feeding from the Word of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and that's the first challenge to us this morning. The second thing is they enjoyed fellowship. Verse 42 again, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Here's another mark of the embryonic church, in that they met together and they shared together. And they did that in various ways. Their fellowship had a spiritual dimension to it, naturally. These were followers of Jesus Christ. So if you look at verse 46, where it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So they met together in the temple courts, and that was for prayer, a more sort of formal setting. But then they broke bread together, and I think that obviously refers to remembering the meal that Jesus shared with the apostles. But they did it in the context of a meal. They shared together, they met together to worship formally and informally. And friends, that's an encouragement to us to meet together. We need to see that. I'm very glad we have the live stream. I think it's great. But there's nothing like being together. There's nothing like being together with God's people, either formally, like this, or informally in our home groups or just chatting together over a meal. These people met together. No, they didn't. Look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. It wasn't a take it or leave it. It wasn't a, I might, if I, or if nothing else comes up, or I might not. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Am I devoted? Am I devoted to the fellowship to which I belong, whether it's this church or another church? Am I meeting? Am I sharing? Their fellowship had a spiritual dimension, but it also had a practical dimension to it. Look at verses 44 and 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They shared practically. And they made sure that people's needs were met. Now, I'm afraid that just goes straight to us. It's, you know, they shared together. They made sure people's needs were met. Yeah, I know it was a very different environment. And they had everything in common. And we may never have everything in common. But there is a sense here of recognizing that some had more than others and that those who hadn't needed. One of the churches I was in, we drew up a list of possessions that people had which they were willing to share. Cars, lawnmowers, ladders, whatever it was. So that not everybody had to have, and that those who couldn't, but in just other practical ways. And especially at this point in time with the economic crisis, there are plenty of people in our church, in our community, who are struggling. These people saw the needs and they met it. That was part of their fellowship. That was part of their being community together. This was not a loose collection of individual Christians. This was a fellowship. This was a community. This was a body of believers. And I know it's hard. It's harder when churches grow, and we're experiencing that ourselves with having two morning services. It's harder to have that kind of fellowship. But we need to do all we can through regular meeting, through worship, through home groups, through sharing, be over coffee or meals together, to do everything we can to build fellowship and community. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and thirdly, to prayer. Prayer was essential. Prayer was natural. It was just part of their life together, but it was also the grounds of their growth, both spiritually and numerically. And I presume that their prayer was done together. And I said to you, I don't just presume it, because as we look through the rest of the New Testament, we see the church at prayer together. Now, I don't know what they prayed about. But they were humans just like us. So they must have prayed about the things that we pray about. And I struggle to talk about prayer without referring to the Perishers cartoon strip from the Daily Mirror. In one cartoon, Baby Grumplin is going to church with his big sister Maisie. And he says to her, there's going to be a big push on the prayer front this weekend, Maisie. And he goes on, I want a new cowboy hat and a revolver and a jumbo painting book, and only to be interrupted by his sister, who says, I told you before, Baby Grumplin, you mustn't pray for selfish things. You should pray for other people. She goes on with a suggestion, why don't you pray for poor old Mr. Scoggins up the road? And Baby Grumplin says, oh, all right then. And then he adds, but he'll have a shock when he receives a cowboy hat and a revolver and a jumbo painting book. But I know prayer's not about us. But in the Acts of the Apostles here, we're presented with a challenge, aren't we, from the early church about prayer. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to prayer. John White, in his book, The Fight, and if you've never read it, I do recommend it. It's an old book, but I recommend it to you. He says this, when I was a medical student in England, someone in the intervarsity group gave me a card which changed my life. On the card were a couple of quotations from the Gospels, indicating how Jesus, on earth, once spent all night in prayer. Underneath the text was one brief sentence ending, "God helping me, I resolve to spend at least 20 minutes daily in prayer to God." Below was a dotted line where I signed my name. Now I recognize that in a sense that's a bit artificial and it's easy to sign up to something like that. But we need that encouragement. We need that commitment to, that devotion to prayer. And especially we need to commit ourselves to praying for people to come to faith. This was a church with a mission. And they worked out their mission by being devoted to the apostles' teaching, being devoted to the fellowship, but also by being devoted to prayer, praying for people to come to faith. And what was the result? Well, the result was that they were growing. Verse 47. Praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. As if 3,000 in your newcomers group wasn't enough, people being added to it daily. God's grace, God's power. God was at work, turning people's lives round, bringing them to salvation. And isn't that what we as a church long to see? And that's why prayer is so vital. It's so important. Jesus gave his church a task. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He equipped his church in the power of the Holy Spirit and with the message of the gospel, so that through that church, people could be brought to faith and the church could grow. Friends, what we see in the early church is that there was learning, there was fellowship, there was prayer, and there's growth. And all of those things are so relevant to us today. So this morning as we hear God's word, we ask the question, we let God's word ruminate in us. Am I devoted to the word of God? Am I devoted to the fellowship? Am I devoted to prayer? Am I devoted to seeing God's church grow? What is it God's saying to you? Let me just be quiet for a moment, and then I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, it is so easy. It's easy to speak these words. It's easy to hear these words. But Heavenly Father, we do ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would challenge us. Perhaps about our feeding on your word, or about our commitment to the fellowship of your people, or about our prayer lives, or our desire to see growth. But Heavenly Father, whatever it is, help us not to walk away from this morning without that word in us, and that word shaping and changing us. And this we ask for your name's sake. Amen.